This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In case your listeners are wondering why my voice is slightly altered from usual, I'm not trying to do bad impressions of someone, except someone getting over a cold. And I think I got that one right. I think I cemented that one right. But let me tell you a really weird story here. And you'll figure I must have done something stupid, which is probably true. As many of our listeners know, I wear contact lenses. Mostly during the day, and at night I wear the regular eyeglasses. Well, just very recently, a couple of days ago, I started developing an eye infection in my right eye. And I took an antibiotic for it. And then I felt an irritation in my eye on the side. And I splashed water into it. I had an inspiration. I splashed water on. I found 4 contact lenses that had fallen off to the side of my eye. I barely noticed them. And they all snuck together. And as soon as the water loosened them up, they covered the pupil and I was able to pull them out. Doesn't that sound grisly, Randall?
Yeah, thanks for that, Gene. I'm really glad that we're all now aware of that. But yeah, no, I've heard of that happening. My former life partner, Patricia, had contacts and would have the same thing happen once in a while. And, she'd need me to check it out and make sure that there wasn't something stuck in there. So, yeah, it's probably fairly common with you contact users.
In this particular case, I just didn't notice it. I thought I lost the lenses. But knowing this now, I realized the only way to really check if I feel an irritation or a lost lens is to pour water over my eyes. It'll help loosen up the lens. That's what got this. And the lenses look pretty weird. 4 of them together.
Yeah.
Got to look really weird. New kind of flying saucer, the contact lens saucer. New kind of craft. Last week, Stoneheart, smart guy, fun to talk to. It shows that we have the smartest listeners on the planet.
Yeah, David Stone, I like having him on. I'm glad that he's managed to free up a little bit of time to come on and talk with us every once in a while. He brings a flavor to the show that I really enjoy.
Also makes it an international show, and that's pretty good too. He just has it nailed. I know he has a musical background, but not necessarily a broadcast background, but he's got a future career there if he sticks with it. Speaking of careers, we've got somebody here who has a present career as a very prolific author, mostly of all things paranormal. And that's the one, the only, Nick Redfern. Nick, welcome back.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I'm recovering. I have no idea about Randall.
Yeah, I try not to burden our listeners too much with my health problems.
This was so weird, though, I had to say it, really.
Yeah. No, I've been limping around for, 4 weeks with sciatica, but it's almost better now. I've been working at it, so it looks like I'm not going to need a wheelchair anytime soon. Nick, have you been doing any shredding lately?
Any what?
The shredding on the guitar out at the pub?
No, I haven't actually, no.
Ah.
No, I haven't.
Well, I was just thinking, because our last guest, he's mentioned he's a musician, and last time you were on, you were saying that you like getting out there every once in a while and doing a little punk.
Yeah, it's just been one of those times when deadlines and things like that and conferences just kind of, you know what it's like. It's sort of sometimes everything goes crazy and then it goes quiet. So.
Why don't we start with that right away then? Let's tell our listeners what conferences you're going to be speaking at and what's the latest thing that you're going to be telling them about.
Well, actually, the next conference I've got isn't for a few more months from now. That's the Contact in the Desert one. As far as projects and things like that, I've got a new book coming out in July called Monsters of the Deep, which is all about sea serpents, lake monsters, giant fish, presumed extinct fish, and anything that's kind of weird and that's in the water. That'll be in that book. That one sort of kept me busy, and I'm also working on one for later in the year, like a definitive A to Z of everything to do with time travel. The Monsters of the Deep one, that'll be probably 4 months, maybe at the max, something like that.
Wouldn't it be interesting here if you took a couple of months extra on the book, but you went back through time, so you'd still be on time?
That would be good, actually. You know, you could just do it as slow as you wanted and then just sort of zoom back to your regular time. Yeah, that would be cool. There'd be no such things as deadlines ever again, you know.
Alter the time stream. You had an article here for Mysterious Universe, and this brings up a larger discussion. You call it the strangest article, possibly the strangest article you've ever written. Mm. How so?
Yeah, this is a really weird and almost sort of conspiratorial story about a woman named Florence Mina Thiel. Now, in the early 1950s, she developed a deep interest in the UFO subject, and particularly the whole contactee phenomenon. And at that time, pretty much all of the contactees, for the most part, were based out of California, and many of them in LA and also in the various desert locations. And, of course, probably the most famous of all would be George Van Tassel, who put on all these yearly conferences out at Giant Rock, which literally attracted audiences in the thousands and at times in five figures. That's how popular they were, you know, and that kind of demonstrates the difference between back then and today. I mean, you're lucky to get sort of 300 or 400 people, you know, at a conference today on UFOs. Van Tassel, 60 years ago, was getting like 10,000 people at his outdoors conferences, you know, with all the major contactees attending. Now, Florence actually went out to Giant Rock on many occasions from the early 1950s through when she died in 1954. And it gets very sort of controversial and almost disturbing because basically what happened was that on her final trip out to Giant Rock, which was when Van Tassel was going to put on another of these events, she died. And she died under really weird circumstances. What basically happened, as far as we can tell, is that she drove outside of Giant Rock and further along 20 Palms, and that's where she died. What we know for sure is that her car was semi-buried partially in a part of the desert near the road. And she clearly got out of the vehicle, walked along as far as she could, got lost apparently, and found like an old wooden cabin there, and actually broke the windows to get inside because she was dehydrating and, you know, she had no water or anything. She was just panicking and maybe even going around in circles, you know, if she was a little bit disoriented in the desert. And she actually left $3 bills for the owner of the cabin to allow for the, you know, the cost of replacing the windows, which she broke to get inside. And unfortunately, there was no water in the building either. And according to the tracks in the desert, she tried to walk back to the car only to pass out and then ultimately die. Now, it sounds just like, you know, some sort of really strange, terrible, you know, aspect of fate. You know, she gets lost, the car gets stuck in the desert, and you're not sure where she's going or which way she should be going. And then it got worse and worse for her.
We have Gene Randall. Nick, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this woman, I guess she was 40 years old, according to your article, dies in the desert, but there are things of surrounding it that make it either a very strange incident or just a really, really unfortunate accident.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we can. None of us, I guess, can be too sure what we would do. You know, if you're driving out in the desert, you take like sort of a dirt road off the main road, which is apparently what she did, you know, to get photographs and things like that, because she was going to write an article all about the latest conference. So, you know, you imagine you get off the main road and you get onto dirt roads, then desert roads, and you've been going a couple of miles, and then you get stuck in the desert. And what do you do? Instead of going back, she reportedly went further on, or to the left or right, and stumbled on this cabin, as I mentioned, and no one there. And then he was trying to find a way back. I think that was the big problem for her. However, you know, what sounds like just a tragic situation and a very bizarre death becomes something else, because the only reason I found out about this particular case was because not too long ago, the FBI declassified its surveillance file on George Van Tassel, and which actually runs to almost 400 pages. That's, you know, how close the FBI watched him. And for reasons I'm not really sure, for some reason, there are a number of clippings, newspaper clippings, and a couple of documents within the Van Tassel file that talks about the death of Florence out in the desert. I looked into this, and there was just one newspaper clipping about her death in the file. When I read it, and then I Googled her name, there's literally barely nothing at all on the internet anywhere, which amazed me that, you know, this really bizarre death involving UFOs and mentioned in an FBI file, and yet there's nothing apart from one just link on the internet. It's almost like, you know, she's just gone from history. I printed out the newspaper clipping, and also found in there that there was correspondence between a military member of the military from a nearby Marines base who had corresponded with the FBI, and this guy worked in the Marines, whose name we don't know because the FBI has blacked it out. Basically, he had concerns that her death was not just an accident. He felt that because he had a deep concern about the possibility that the Russians and communist people in the United States were using the UFO subject as a means to spread communism, but do it like under a UFO banner. He came to the conclusion that Florence was going to go to the police what she knew about this Russia connection to the UFO subject. And of course, she never had the chance to do this because, you know, she was found dead. But it's intriguing, you know, that this Marine, or who worked on the Marine base, not too far away at all, you know, was deeply concerned and deeply suspicious about her death and felt that there was this connection. So, you know, you've got a lot of really weird aspects to this, you know, a death that seems, you know, the way it happened, you know, seems almost unbelievable. And then on top of that, you know, you've got her mentioned in an FBI file and some anonymous member of the military, you know, telling the FBI, hey, I don't think this is exactly what it seems to be.
This is a very paranoid time, 1954. There were communists in every street corner. We had McCarthy. Joe McCarthy. Yep. And lots of people were mistakenly identified as communists. In fact, the late Kirk Douglas, he died just very recently at age 103. During his heyday, back when they were making Spartacus, he got this, I think, writer who had been blacklisted for whatever reason. He got him to work. He fought this silly proposal that we had communists in every storefront. He exposed the non-reality of it, and things began to change. And he's one of the people who had the courage to look at the people who were blacklisted and give them the work.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's that's sort of, sort of typical of that era. It really was, you know, sort of reds under the beds everywhere. And, but the main reason why so many of these early contactees, like Van Tassel and Adamski and some of the others, why they were watched so closely by the FBI was because some of the things they were saying what actually did border on communism. I mean, if you read George Adamski's FBI file, which is actually around about 400 pages in length, and again, that demonstrates, you know, how they were being watched and, you know, how there was this paranoia. But in many respects, it was also down to the fault of the contactees as well, because, I mean, Adamski, in one of his early lectures, actually said that communism was the way of the future, that the Space Brothers were communist, and that Russia was going to rule the world. Those statements were actually made at one of his very early lectures, and there was a member of the FBI in the audience who actually transcribed and copied the whole conversation. So the FBI's concerns were that by claiming that the aliens were communists, and this today it sounds bizarre, but back then the FBI's concern was that people like Adamski, who first book was selling, you know, in thousands and thousands of copies, and, you know, he was on the lecture circuit, the concern on the part of the FBI was that Adamski would try and spread communism, but do it via the UFO subject. And that's why they opened the file. And that's the same with Van Tassel. He talked a lot about politics and the economy, as did some of the others. So, you know, you put that together with, as you said, you know, McCarthy is a reds under the beds. Even if some of them were, you know, communists, which I'm sure some of them were closet communists, but some, I think, were not. And a lot of it really was just pointing the finger at anyone who dared kind of, you know, sort of talk about a different way of life. So I think, you know, that's probably why people like Van Tassel was being watched and why Adamski was being watched. But the one thing we don't have is sort of a firm, logical reason as to why this discussion and these newspaper clippings about Florence's death should end up in the Van Tassel file.
You know, this is something where we'll pursue this more about the contactees and the suspicions and the surveillance. And I have a few other questions to ask about it. We have the one and only Nick Redfern, author of 26,000 books since yesterday. And no, he's just a great guy and a great author of really fascinating material. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
An American citizen has died of the coronavirus in China. The total death count now is 720. the criticism of the Chinese response is still increasing. Dr. William Schaefer at the Vanderbilt Medical Center.
It's been widely reported that people who are ill are not receiving sufficient care. And that's where a great deal of attention needs now to be directed.
Two more planes carrying Americans evacuated from the epicenter arrived in the U.S. on Friday. They'll be quarantined at military bases for 2 weeks. The U.S. is pledging as much as $100 million to fight the global outbreak. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman and his twin brother, Army Lieutenant Colonel Yevgeny Vindman, were both removed from their jobs at the White House. Ambassador Gordon Sondland was also recalled from his post. This is USA Radio News.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the FBI is surveilling the contactees on the possibility they are either run by communists or communists are participating. Mm-hmm. So now, this has been pretty strange, but where does it end up? I mean, the communist paranoia eventually ended with the Army McCarthy hearings, and I thought things were starting to get back to normal. Did the surveillance of the contactees continue despite that?
Well, yeah, and I mean, for people who lived through it, I'm sure it was sort of like a really strange, you know, stressful situation. I mean, just as an aside, one of the very first UFO authors, Frank Scully, was actually sort of outed as a communist, or was, you know, had the finger pointed at him, but he said no. But and he may well not have been, but he was actually one of the people, you know, in the files, what today, you know, you would call like a person of interest. And that's what Frank Scully was, regardless of, you know, whether he really did have sort of communist leanings or not. So, you know, that's like another example of how UFOs, communism, and government surveillance all kind of melted into one, you know. And I think possibly the whole issue with Florence Thale was almost sort of the pinnacle of it, you know. Paranoia, if she was murdered, you know, it could have been sort of paranoia run riot as a result of what she may have been telling to the police or trying to.
I wonder, when we talk about this and the communist furor or the conspiracy here is how much of the government's efforts to look into the UFO problem related to fears that maybe the Russians had perfected something.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to the Cold War and, you know, what was going on in the 40s and 50s, I think it was a very much a, not that I was there, but I mean, you know, if you look back historically at it, you know, there is this sort of clear concern that, you know, Russia back then was in this mysterious, strange place on the other side of the world and they want to destroy us, that kind of thing. And I think certainly from the FBI's perspective, their concerns really were as to how communism could be sort of championed in the United States via very alternative ways and means to sort of, I won't say mind control, but certainly influence, you know, people in the United States. And as I said, you know, when you've got people, contactees, speaking to audiences of 10,000 at places like Van Tassel's giant rock gigs every year, then you can see how this would sort of start to circulate within the minds of people like J. Edgar Hoover and his special agents. You know, it would be a case of almost, hang on a minute, you know, it's all very well these guys talking about aliens and UFOs, but what's the deal now? He's bringing communism into it. Is he a hired stooge, you know, or is he just, you know, some idiotic guy blundering around saying communism is great? And, you know, when you look at also people like Frank Scully, you know, you can easily see when you look at the early 1950s and so many people in ufology had files opened on them. Others were Truman Bethurum, Orfeo Angelucci, George Hunt Williamson. You know, the list goes on and on. I think it was a very different world of ufology than it is today. You know, everybody was ripe for, you know, to be watched on. And I think, you know, it probably still goes on to this day to a degree, but certainly back then, you know, it was far different. But, you know, when you add that scenario with, you know, that's such a strange death in the desert, you know, wandering around, and, you know, and that the one of the weird things was, she was Florence actually wasn't that far from the main roads anyway, you know, and you have to wonder if at some point, you know, she was going to blow the whistle on what she knew about communism and UFOs. Maybe somebody panicked, crossed the line, and, you know, that resulted in her death.
This is the reverse of the theories from James Carrion in the Rosetta Deception, Roswell Deception, that ghost rockets, Roswell, all this stuff was designed to spook the Russians during the early days of the Cold War. And I'm talking about, obviously, we're talking about possibility that the Russians were trying to spook us or suspicions thereof.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually the theme of my previous book, which came out late last year, Flying Saucers from the Kremlin, which is not about UFOs going over Russia. It's actually about how in the Cold War, you know, we and them did their utmost and our utmost to use the UFO subject as means and efforts to try and freak out the enemy. And, you know, when you have things like disinformation and counterintelligence and psychological warfare, you really come to realize and understand how much, so much of the early years of ufology particularly were driven by this, to the point where today we really don't know, you know, how much of it was true, you know, how many of the contactees were just, you know, genuine guys wanting to spread their stories, or were they hired by, you know, some other agency. You know, a lot of people in ufology don't think about that side of things. They think, you know, it's black and white. There's aliens, there's UFOs, et cetera, et cetera. When it gets into the issue of creating and fabricating stories to, you know, sort of keep the enemy wide awake at night, so to speak, a lot of people don't realize there's very much like there was an undercurrent of like political issues going on. It wasn't just about Blue Book investigating UFO cases. It was also about the CIA and the FBI and politics and trying to find ways to essentially freak out, you know, the enemy. Sort of seed stories that we've got crashed UFOs and you know, and that kind of thing, and maybe alien technology. There's good evidence that the Russians were sort of the victims of some really cool operations by US intelligence to have the Russians think, oh my God, you know, the Americans have got alien technology. And that would arguably be a really good way, you know, to try and have the Russians running around like headless chickens.
Okay, so the theory here then is that because this is fairly complex, I'm just going to try to condense it down. And if I've got anything wrong, you can, you know, just step in and correct it. But the theory here is that Van Tassel was promoting communism along with alien visitation. And because Florence was a writer who was interested in UFOs, and she was sure that saucers came from another planet in our solar system, and she had a connection with Van Tassel by way of the gatherings at Giant Rock, that she represented some sort of threat to the agents in the shadows who were watching this situation.
I mean, when it comes to Van Tassel and communism, he was significantly different to Adamski. Adamski came outright and said to the effect of, you know, communism's great. Russia's going to be, you know, the Russian way of life is going to be for the future. Russia is going to destroy the United States. He actually said that. And he said then, you know, forever on after then, that Russia will rule the world and everything's going to be great. So it's no wonder, you know, speaking to thousands of people, that Adamski, you know, had a file opened on him. But to come back to Van Tassel,
let's come back to Van Tassel in our next segment with Gene Randall. Nick, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so Adamski preaching communism, and now we're going back to George Van Tassel.
The big difference between Adamski and Van Tassel was that Adamski was very wide open with regard to his pro-Russia, pro-communism statements. With Van Tassel, it was very much sort of a grey area. And by that, I mean, he talked about how the aliens, everybody was on the same level. Nobody needed to worry about everything because everything was being done and everybody was equal. And so that certainly did sort of, create communist imagery, if you like, and so did many of the other the so-called contactees who spoke out at Giant Rock. They also, in various ways, talked about communism, and you can easily understand thousands of people just listening to every single word of these people, and we're not talking about five people and somebody's dog on a in a library on a Sunday afternoon. We're talking about 10,000 to 11,000 people in California, just a few, handful of miles from Los Angeles. So, the whole thing sort of smacks of, spies and espionage and surveillance programs on the key players. And as for Florence, she was out there just to basically write an article. She had dreams of being an author, a writer, and she had worked in the media to a degree, but she wanted to, expand, and she'd gone out there to do sort of review of the weekend events, and unfortunately, she paid the price with her life. And but I think for me, the most strangest thing about this whole story, as I sort of alluded to earlier on, is that you can literally find next to nothing about this story. If you look back into the history of ufology, you can find information on just about, the smallest, the most obscure person in ufology, and you'll find at least, 9, 10, 15 links somewhere. But with Florence, there's nothing. there's one internet connection, and there's a newspaper clipping in the Van Tassel file. And it kind of just baffles me how a story that ended with a woman dead, which, you know, I'm sure there must have been an autopsy, the police would have been involved, you know, doctors and emergency services must have been out at the site. And at the site, I should also stress, you know, of an area where 10,000 people were going to be there the next day to attend the event. And yet, you know, you Google her name and there's nothing. And now whether that's sort of a deliberate, you know, attempt to hide the truth, I don't think that's the case. I think that's taking things a bit too far. You know, I think it would be too difficult to, you know, find a way to just bury the story, whether it's police files or newspaper clippings. I think probably what's happened is the easiest scenario, that it's just been forgotten. But I still find it fascinating and weird that such a bizarre aspect of ufology should not have been known at all, as far as I can tell, until last week when I wrote the article. You know, that's just another layer of the weirdness.
Well, if anyone was going to dig it up, Nick, it would be you. So, you know.
I mean, the big irony in all this is because I was actually intent on writing something based on what was in the FBI file on Van Tassel. So, you know, it wasn't like I'd found the material on Florence because I was going for it. No, I was actually seeing what, you know, tidbits there were on Van Tassel. And then as I was going through the 400 pages, or what it almost is, I just happened to see this newspaper clipping that says, you know, talked about the death. And I thought, well, what's this? So, you know, I wrote down the names of the players and everybody involved, Googled them, and that's how it happened. So had I not gone into the Van Tassel file, I wouldn't have known anything at all about, you know, this bizarre story of Florence driving around and walking around and stumbling around the desert, and then, you know, then life's over.
Well, there's all sorts of weird deaths that go on and that are connected somehow in some way to ufology, like the whole Marconi conspiracy death thing. I mean, there's a whole, I don't know, a dozen or more people there that all died in weird ways.
more than that, actually.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of research back into this when I still lived in the UK. And basically this revolves around the Marconi company, and Marconi has done a lot of, over the years and over the world as well, a lot of research into high tech weaponry and things like this. And the reports of strange deaths in Marconi actually date back to the early 1970s. There's a story of a guy, I forget his name now, but he was a scientist working for Marconi in Cheltenham, England, and he had a very strange experience. He got his own gun. He got a license for it, because most people, you know, you can't get a gun in the UK. But he had his own license gun, and he was up in the attic, and he found, under bizarre circumstances, some classified documents that he'd taken home from Marconi. But what was weird, afterwards, he couldn't remember how or why he'd taken the documents home. Now, when he did this, one Sunday afternoon, he actually shot himself in the chest. And luckily, he died, but he claimed it was done by mistake. But it almost sounds like some sort of hypnotic situation he'd been plunged into. You know, he takes these documents home, which he shouldn't have done. And then, for reasons he couldn't understand, he shot himself. Now, that was the early 70s. It all kind of went quiet until the early 80s, when you had a lot of scientists and technicians working in the UK for Marconi, but the work was being farmed out to the US because it was all tied in with President Reagan's Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative, to try and create, you know, this sort of arsenal of, missile defenders kind of thing. And a lot of the people at Marconi were sort of involved in the SDI program between roughly 1983 and 1992, around about 30 people who either worked for Marconi or who had connections to Marconi were found dead under extremely weird circumstances. There was one guy who killed himself in his garage, put the car in the garage, turned the engine on, and put the exhaust on, and killed himself. But what's weird, you know, if you're going to do that, that's what you do. You put like a tube from the exhaust through the window, you know, and just wait to die. And that's what he did. But instead of getting in the car, he lay underneath the car. And when the police got a call from the next door neighbor to say, you know, they could smell like carbon monoxide, the police raced over, opened the garage door, were hit by this, you know, wall of carbon monoxide, and they saw the engine was running, they saw this tube coming from the window, etc., etc. And they were they were just kind of like startled and stunned for like 5 minutes until they realized that his body was under the car, not in the car. Which, and there were so many bizarre aspects to these Marconi deaths. Most of the deaths had like a weird aspect to it, like that.
Yeah, I think my favorite one is the one where the guy ties a rope around his neck and drives off in his car at high speed.
Yeah, that's what he did. He put, there was like a street lamp. He put one part of the rope around the street lamp and the other around his neck, got in the car, hit the accelerator and basically decapitated himself.
And that's not all. We'll be continuing our discussions about possible strange deaths involving people associated with the UFO and or paranormal movement. Something weird or one of those unfortunate things? Let's do our break with Gene Randall. Nick, it's your turn, Nick. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.